Great day, amazing human. Yes, welcome to Empowered Up My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans empower humans. So you are in the right place to become a lead domino for empowerment today. My name is Nkechi Mwafa Robinson. I'm not only your host, but I am a vibrant optimist obsessed to bring you empowering content with every single episode. We will bring you weekly content alternating between longer episodes with featured guests and a shorter episode called Empowering Bites, where I will be joined by my co-host, Gabby Memone. So if you're ready, let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the next episode of Empowered My Skin, the guest episode. So our guest is a voice that awakens purpose. So you already know that I'm excited. They are a force that turns potential into influence and a guide who's helped countless people step into the life they were born to live. From best-selling books to a TEDx talk that's changed lives, from the lecture hall to the world stage, this guest is on a mission to raise leaders whose impact will echo for generations. So this is Power in Motion. So please join me in that gigantic, massive podcast welcome for the incomparable, the amazing, the purposeful Dr. Samuel Ekundayo.
Thank you so much, Nkechi. Thank you so much. It's a joy to be here. I love your energy. In fact, if there's anything that I can hold on to in terms of what to remember you for, it is your great energy. And your energy fills the room. And it's a joy to be here with you again on your podcast. I am excited. Let's go.
That was a great intro. Wow. I feel pumped. I feel purposed already.
Yes, let's go.
My energy is actually part of my purpose. You know, it's so funny. Just sidebar, I used to not recognize it as a gift or a weapon. Mm. You know what I mean? But I recognize it's actually what invites me into rooms. Like people hire me for that. And then I get to use that opportunity to use my voice to then share my message. And
powerful. That's powerful.
So as I start with every episode, my first question is, what has been your most empowering thought that you've had of the day so far? And just before you answer, context for all the listeners and viewers, because I know some of you are on YouTube right now or listening to this on audio, but he's in Auckland, New Zealand. And I'm in the T-dot. So that's Toronto for... So this is pretty awesome. He's I already asked him how tomorrow is going to be, and he said, because it's 11.
A beautiful day.
It's a whole day ahead plus 4 hours or something. I was like, tell me how's tomorrow already. Anyway, he says a very good day. So rest assured, if you're on the East Coast, tomorrow is guaranteed. Okay.
Amen.
Okay, so what has been your most empowering thought of the day so far?
It's that if you don't change, nothing will change. That has been something that just was big when I was having my shower this morning. Mm. You know, if you don't change, nothing changes. Everything changes when you change. Mm. So let's stop expecting things to change, situations to change, other people to change, circumstances to change, the tomorrow to change, mm-hmm. unless you change. So if you're looking for change, then you've got to be looking at the man in the mirror.
Yes.
Yeah. You've got to be looking at the man in the mirror, because nothing changes until you change.
And you know, I don't have all the stats, but I think change is the one thing that most people fear, right? And I always say Kyle Cease says they fear what they stand to lose versus what they stand. It's because they are so focused on what they stand to lose versus what they stand to gain. Yeah. But it's interesting because like if you actually look at the stats of us as human beings, physically, the amount of change that we go through in a day, let alone a month, is quite astronomical. Right?
Life is built around change. Unfortunately for us, though, it takes intentionality to actually focus on the positive. Mm-hmm. Our brain is by default, my friend Dr. Niebuhr, the neurologist, would often say our brain is by default designed to scan for threats by default. So the brain is naturally not necessarily looking, in quote, for opportunities unless you make it look for it. So the brain is looking for danger so that it can protect you. So that's the way the brain is designed. However, the only way for you to allow your brain to actually empower you to actually look for opportunities to change, to make things happen for you, is when you become intentional in telling the brain, hey, stop scanning for threats. I'm not in danger. Now begin to do this other work instead. Otherwise, the brain runs on default, scanning for threats every single time. But if you want change, then you have to tell the brain to change. And how do you tell the brain to change? You have to consciously gravitate towards the change that you seek. And if that change doesn't happen internally inside of you, then even the brain can't help you. And that's usually what is affect. That's a cog in the wheel of many people's progress, because they've not seen that, they've not realized rather that change is an intentional thing. It's not something you sit down and hope for change. You don't hope for change. Hope is not a strategy. You get to work and then you see things change.
So I have two questions. This is so, first of all, I love a guest that guides the interview, right? So this is not where I was going to start, but
I didn't intend to do
but I'm glad. I'm so happy this was your empowering thought of the day. So this might just be the episode. But so question for you. Someone that's listening to that that says, okay, Dr. Sam, I get it. Yeah. But like, there's so much, like, what can I latch onto as daily habit? Because I do believe your, it's in your routine, right? Like, and so your success is in your routine, your results are in your routine. And so what are some things that they say, Dr. Sam, give me like a couple of things that I could start to do every day to start to wire my brain towards like change, like being,
Number one thing is what you feed that brain. Mm. We all know that it is not, in the words of the Bible, it is not what comes out of you that corrupts you. It is what goes inside of you that corrupts you. That's what Jesus's word said. Jesus actually said that. It's not what, you know, comes out of you that corrupts you. It is what goes inside of you that corrupts you. The same way, it is what goes inside of you that actually benefits you as well. So that means that if you want anything to change about you, then watch what goes inside of you. So many people wake up and the very first thing that they do is they consume social media, the news of the day. Can I shock you? Many of those news, what we call breaking news or all of those things, they are all negative.
Yeah.
And the more you feed yourself negative stuff, it's impossible to feed yourself with junk and expect to be healthy. It's just impossible. Like, it's amazing how some people expect some miracle to happen in life and they keep feeding themselves with junk and they hope that they will be healthy, they would lose weight, they will be fit. No, it doesn't work that way. So what do? You change your diet. You change your diet, you change the things you listen to, you change the people that are speaking to you, you change the voices that are speaking to your life. I believe one of the most powerful forces that either propel us or rescind our growth are the voices that speak into our lives. Mm-hmm. If you're consistently listening to negative voices, you're not going anywhere. They will hold you back. They will keep you where you are. But if you would change the voices that speak into your life, because every voice speaking into you is an exchange of energy. Every time you hear someone's voice speaking into you, they're exchanging their energy with yours. So the more you allow them to continue to speak to you, they're exchanging whatever is their energy. So if they have negative energy, they're exchanging that for yours, all right? And whereas maybe you have little positive right there, but they come with their own.
They're going to swarm you.
Yeah. Truckload of negative energy. And the more you allow them, the more you give them permission to speak into your life, the more they would exchange your little positive energy with their own truckload of negative energy. Mm. And then you realize that it's impossible to always feed on negative thoughts or negative voices and have a positive life. Mm. It's just impossible. Mm. So number one practice is change what you eat, change what you feed on. And when I say eat, I don't necessarily mean what you feed on in terms of your food, but that's also important too.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, a good analogy that comes to mind right now, basically just to hammer it home for everybody. Like it is, if you had a block of moldy cheese on the counter to eat, and then you had a block of good, like new fresh cheese, ask me which one would you actually ingest?
Want to take, yeah.
The average human is not going to eat. If there was two choices, they're going to eat the fresh.
Yes.
But we don't do that. We don't do that for for, I believe, the way we feed our mind.
For our heart. Right? We don't do that for our heart. We don't do that for our mind. We don't do that for our soul, unfortunately. Yes. Yeah. Why? Because we can't, in quote, see with our physical eyes. If only you can see the modes in the conversation you have with some of your friends. If only you can see the modes in the news that you listen to all the time. If only you can see the modes in the social media posts that you consume every day. If only you could just see the modes and you realize, oh my goodness, this is what I've been consuming.
Or you could take
a microscopic look at some of those things that you feed on and you realize, oh my goodness, bacteria walking up and down. You know, there was this day that I was watching on social media and I saw how they took a microscopic view at, I can't remember that what that food was, and I saw the bacteria literally walking down. Oh my God, I'm like, I'm not eating that again. Ever again. No, it wasn't yogurt. It wasn't yogurt. Mm. And they were talking about how, you know, they are live bacteria and all of that. And the guy was trying to explain that they are good bacteria and then they are negative bacteria. I'm like, I'm not eating that again, right? Because the moment I see with my eyes that, wow, you know, I'm eating all this live stuff. The same thing with the things that go into our soul, the things that go into our mind. We've got to be very intentional. And successful people are people who intentionally curate the things that they listen to. Yeah. So for instance, when you wake up in the morning, you can be intentional about maybe listening to a podcast like this Empowering Your Skin podcast. You know, you set it on. And guess what? For the first 30 minutes of your day, that's what you listen to. For me, for someone like me, you know, I would love to read my Bible for the first 30 minutes of the day. You go into the Word of God. The Bible says the entrance of your word, give it light and understanding to the simple. In other words, the moment the Word of God goes into you, there's light that shines inside of you. And light dispels darkness. Light is the opposite of darkness. The moment light comes, and the Bible says, you know, darkness does not comprehend it. So you want light to be the first thing that comes into your life and illuminates everything. Remember, whatever goes into you is what comes out of you. Mm. Once light goes into you, light comes out of you. Yeah. When positivity goes into you, positivity comes out of you. Guess what? Everybody that encounters you, they are blessed. They get light from you. Isn't that amazing?
It is absolutely amazing. And it's funny because one of my practices every day is, so I'm very much like you. I'm very, very intentional. I have funny stories about people that I have bunked with and don't know my morning routine. And I'm like, you know, I don't talk to humans in the morning, right? Like, and so before I've spoken to myself. And so, yeah, my husband and I know we get up, we do our own, he goes down, routines. Does his meditation. I do my prayer. I get in front of the mirror and I like incantation, like my body is resting. My mind is clear. I start my day with, and I recognize over time, what that has enabled me to do is give people the language to use to speak about me.
Wow.
Right? Because you are right. Yes. I believe reflection, projection. Like if I give that out, most times you get that back.
Yeah, absolutely. You would get it back. Yes. You would always get it back. Yeah. In time. Yeah.
But it takes practice. And the second question I had from your morning empowering thought is, do you see change and transformation differently?
Do I see change in
and transformation differently?
Change and transformation, yes. So change can be positive or negative. Transformation, on the other hand, is viewed as positive, is viewed as becoming who you were originally designed to be. So don't just change for the sake of changing. You know, don't just go to the gym for the sake of going to the gym. You could be going to the gym for the wrong reasons. You know, the Bible speaks about something. Apologies, I keep quoting the Bible because I'm a preacher.
Oh, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get the purpose preacher. You're the purpose preacher. That was actually my first question. So you don't steal the thunder yet. Don't steal the thunder. Keep talking about God, though. Okay, go on.
Yeah, thank you. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says it. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you want to be transformed, then you've got to run away from conformation. Mm-hmm. What is very easy to do and without any form of intentionality is conformation. Because conformation just simply means that you are literally looking like the things that surround you. You're looking like the world. You're practicing the culture of this world. Another version talks about, you know, do not be conformed to the practice and the patterns of this world. Mm-hmm. The more you witness that pattern, the more you dance with the pattern, the more you you engage with the pattern, the more you tangle with the pattern of this world, the more you are looking like this world. So that's confirmation, and that's change in itself. But that's not what we're after. What we're after is being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Mm-hmm. In other words, the really, really key thing about transformation, it begins with the mind. In other words, it begins with the way you think. And that way you think begins with what you feed, how you think. The Bible talks about feeding on positive things. So think on these things, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Think on the things that are noble, things that are pure, things that are healthy, things that are worthwhile. You know, those are, you say, think on these things. In other words, there's a measure of intentionality that, you know, helps you to be able to know what to think of and position yourself such that your life is then transformed by the things you think of. You know, your transformation is like looking in a mirror. The more you look in that mirror, the more you see who you're trying to become, and then the more you become it. Mm-hmm. The very same thing. Transformation is such that requires a lot of intentionality, mm-hmm. but the goal is becoming who you're created to be. In the believer's world or in Christendom, we say the goal is to look like Christ Jesus. In other words, that the image of Christ Jesus that you look at, the more of it that you be. We're already made in the image of God, but you cannot become that image of God until you keep looking at God mm-hmm. and you keep feeding on his word. That's how we become it.
Hmm. Okay, so now you're ready to start the interview?
Yeah, you can. Someone said about me and Kichi that when I start.
No, I'm glad. So, I'm ready. No, this is great. I took you.
I don't know how to go like this.
You gave me the lane, and I just said, we're going. The gun's off. Let's go. So for the first question that I really want to ask you is, so you're known quite fondly around the world as the purpose preacher. It's a truth in. And I'd love to start at the heart of it. So, you know, what's your purpose story and how did you discover it? And why has it become the message you've really dedicated your life to sharing?
Thank you. The message of purpose for me is very personal because it is truly my life. Mm. I grew up in a very, very humble home. You know, we were a bit poor. There were times we didn't have anything to eat growing up. I'm talking about like going to bed hungry. And my parents would ask us, just pray and let's trust God. It wasn't the days where you had mobile phones, so they couldn't call anybody to please help us out or anything like that. It was more of just pray to God, and then we'll pray to God, and miraculously something will happen the next day. It has never been more than a day from memory. So I think that I experienced that about 2-3 times, you know, where we went to bed fasting just because we couldn't afford what to eat. So things were like that. But I remember at the age of 14, I just conceived this dream inside of me that I was going to be a professor. That I was going to have my PhD, you know, and I didn't know what it takes to have a PhD. I didn't know what it takes to be a professor. It was just a dream because I love to teach. But I remember every time I closed my eyes and I imagined the next 10, 20 years of my life, I would see myself in front of this large, massive audience speaking to this sea of heads, you know, and in my only two way of interpreting it at the time was that I was going to be a professor. I didn't see that I was going to be a speaker or I was going to be speaking, you know, all over the world or all of that. I just saw that I in my mind, that was a classroom filled with heads and there were adults, they were not kids. So I knew that I was not going to be a primary school teacher or high school teacher. It was going to be a university. So I conceived that dream, held it in my heart, wrote it down, and I was hell-bent on fulfilling the dream. And I remember I was in this Nigerian educational system that was very aphasad and very epileptic. And I remember sharing with someone, I said I was going to be a professor and I was going to be one before I turned 40 or something like that. And the person said, yeah, in Nigeria, it's not possible. You know, the person laughed and he was right, you know. Soon enough, there was an opportunity when I turned 20 to move to Singapore. My parents moved to Singapore, you know, kind of like, you know, our escape from the poverty and from Nigeria. And as soon as we moved to Singapore, God provided, I don't want to go too deep into the story, God provided means. And, you know, I went back to uni, finished my final year degree, finished my master's degree in Singapore. And then I was looking for where to study for my PhD, you know, hired in my spree in New Zealand. My dad got a confirmation as well, moved to New Zealand. And I've completed my PhD at the age of 26. My wow. final thesis was written on my 26th
wow.
Year, you know, turning 27. And I submitted my thesis. And once I submitted my thesis, I graduated the following year to the glory of God. And then I expected to be successful in Kichi. I expected to feel success.
Mm-hmm.
I expected to feel on top of the world. But instead, I got the opposite. I was feeling empty. I was feeling a void on my inside. I was, you know, this feeling of, could this be all there is to life? Mm. There's got to be more to life than this. That was the feeling I was having. And the more I brooded over it, the more depressed I got. Mm. You know, here I was, this 27-year-old guy that I just finished graduating PhD. You know, I was expecting, you know, the world to celebrate me, doors to open for me, all of those things. But none of those was happening. Instead, I was feeling empty. I was feeling void. I was, you know, I was down. And I remember, like, you know, somebody will be listening to this podcast right now. A guy came to preach at our church. And even though I'd heard the word purpose before, but that was the first time purpose was so articulated to me that I realized that I needed to take action. That my purpose wasn't just going to happen accidentally. Mm-hmm. I needed to discover my purpose. So the onus is on me to discover the purpose. I've got to discover. So previously I thought purpose would just, I'll just accidentally fall into purpose. Mm-hmm. And I hear many people come to my coaching classes and all of that tell me, oh, I've always thought that I would accidentally. So people have not been well taught that you don't accidentally fall into purpose. Mm-hmm. There's a level of consciousness that has to, that, you know, you have to take into discovering your purpose. So this man, this preacher man, gave us the template to discover her purpose. So I did the same. I went on a 3 days retreat with God. I packed myself, you know, left everything behind. And I was just praying. I was seeking God's face. I was seeking God's face. This was December 2016, after about 3 years of that feeling of emptiness, you know. And I, in the middle of all of that, I heard it in my spirit very, very clearly, confirmed with scriptures as well, that I've created you to help people discover their life's purpose. In Keshi, it was as though there was a light bulb that just lit up in my spirit. The emptiness disappeared. The void disappeared. It was as though I was a brand new person, like a newborn baby. It's like I was just being birthed and life has just begun. It's like I now understood what I'm supposed to do with my day, with my time, with my life. And every single day now had so much meaning. You know, the very first thing I did with that information was to hire a coach who became a mentor to me at the time. The guy's in the US called Grant Baldwin. I hired this coach and told him, I said, hey, this is what I've heard about my purpose, that I'm supposed to speak, I'm supposed to teach, I'm supposed to coach, you know, about the purpose. I'm just supposed to write. Those are the four things: teach, coach, speak, write, you know, about purpose and to help other people discover their purpose. That was the purpose. You know, to help other people, you know, discover their purpose. So I began intentionally, and through the help of the coach, you know, my routine was designed for me, what I had to do every single day to enter into, you know, the full robe of what that purpose would look like. So researching every day, talking every day, reading books every day, practicing my speaking every day, all of those things, building my personal brand. That was the first time I ever heard about building a personal brand. You know, I'm talking about 2017 now. So I became intentional. One of the very first things I did was to start releasing videos every week, you know, telling people about purpose. This is what your purpose is. This is how to discover your purpose. Purpose empowers you. These are the benefits of purpose. These are the pitfalls of purpose. Like every single week for over 300 episodes, you know, and that was it. You know, recently I celebrated my 40th birthday, and I was telling my wife, I said, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful because of the way I feel right now. I don't feel lost.
Mm.
I feel like I am in my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I am aligned to, you know, what God has created me to do. I don't feel confused. The future is so clear. I have so much clarity about the future. You know, I don't feel overwhelmed. I don't feel depressed. I don't feel hopeless. You know, I feel like I am a custodian of many people's, you know, hopes and blessings. Mm. I feel like I'm a mentor to many people. I feel like I'm a walking legacy. I'm my own walking legacy. I don't feel like another man inside of my skin. You know, I feel empowered in my skin, to use the name of this podcast. Mm. I feel it. I feel it. And every day I wake up with gratitude and power. I wake up with zest and energy. I wake up feeling like, yes, I could do more. I could reach more people. I could help more thousands of people. I could help millions of people. I wake up with dreams.
Yes!
I still have those dreams. Every time I close my eyes, I still have those dreams of seeing sea heads of people, literally, that I'm helping discover their purpose. And that never leaves me. And that's my purpose. That's my purpose.
Yes. You're sitting, you're yes. I say yes, that. Yes. I say yeah. that. And you know, yeah. I also want to caution the listeners. It doesn't mean that you're devoid of challenges or problems or
No.
Despite all of that, you still feel like this is exactly what you're supposed to be doing with your life. Absolutely. And I think that that is so important, right? Because people might be thinking, well, so he doesn't have problems. He doesn't have challenges. No. I guarantee you. Impossible. I guarantee you they're probably even bigger. Because I think the bigger the purpose, the bigger the affliction.
Yes.
Right? But even through affliction, I do believe we can lead from our purpose, lead from love, lead from, you know, this our highest, truest expression of who we are as a human being. Right.
Yeah. That's the word lead, Nketi. That's the word lead. Purpose is your coronation to leadership.
Yeah.
Without discovering your purpose, you can't really effectively lead. It's not possible. That's what the Bible calls dominion.
Yeah.
Your dominion begins when you know precisely what you're created to do, and then you begin to journey towards it. Then you begin to lead your life in the direction that you've already been created to lead in. That's powerful.
It's funny how you just were expressing yourself and the feeling and the emotion and the passion. I had to let go of a big yes. It so aligns with like the definition of purpose that I learned from the indigenous communities, right? Like just studying. And it's more about the role you play in the communities that you're in. And I think that that's like so fast, like you, like wherever you go, your purpose is abound. Your purpose is flowing out and with you and surrounding you and emulating and, you know, just infusing the space that you're in. Right. Yeah. And I think something else that you said that I think a lot of people think purpose is like this big elusive, you know, bright stars. It's something you have to, and I'm like, it's actually already, it's there. You just, I love this said the discovery. You have to actually be really intentional to start to really think about like, what is it that comes out of you when you exist, you know? So I want to wrap up because I did promise to get you out of here. So I do have, I have many more questions, but I have one more because you actually take us on a journey with your answer. So I'm going to go maybe to legacy, which is something else that I know that you speak a lot about and that influence outlives us, right? Like, you know, so we'd love to hear like, you know, sort of your insights around that. And so how can people that are listening, watching, start to build legacy exactly where they are from today? Because it's not, it's not when you die, it's you're leaving it. You're leaving. I call it your stench.
A mentor of mine said something that's very powerful. And ever since I heard it, it has stayed with me and I will never forget. He said, inheritance is what you leave. Legacy is who you leave behind. Inheritance is what you leave. Legacy is who you leave behind. And that has given me a picture of legacy beyond things to people. In other words, legacy is how much I'm able to reproduce myself
and others,
my victories, my lessons, my imprints in other people, in the next generation. So if you're listening to us, the key way to build legacy is to begin to invest in the next generation intentionally. So it's in how you mentor other people. It's in how you position yourself to be the, you know, a priest, if I may. Priest for other people coming. Priests are people who stand in the gap. Priests are people who help people become who they're meant to be. Priests are people who take people's problems and petitions and help them provide solutions. So you become that priest for the next generation coming. So being intentional about that is legacy building. If you're not intentional about it, then you probably wouldn't be building any legacy. Mm. So you've got to become intentional that in everything you're learning, including your failures and your successes, you are passing it on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. And you can start with one person at a time. Mm-hmm. That young lady in your church, that young lady in the community, that young guy in the community that you intentionally are bringing under your wings, and you're speaking to them, you're charging them up, you're inspiring them, you're encouraging them, you're positioning yourself to be there to answer their questions from time to time. You know, they know that you're their mentor, you know that you're mentoring them as well. Like, it's an intentional relationship because you are reproducing yourself in that person's life. Mm-hmm. All right. And as you do that, what happens is that person also begins to journey towards becoming who they were created to be as well. And guess what? The imprints that you've put into their lives is never forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if you're long dead and gone, everything that you have invested into them begins to become what is touching the other generations after you and even after that person.
Yeah, I love that.
That is God's legacy.
I love that. I really, really love that.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank
you. So as I promised, I'm going to ask you, going to take you through some rapid thrivers so we can start winding down.
Let's
this.
Go.
I don't know. Let's I go. Might have to hit you up for a part two because I mean, I could just. We didn't even scratch the surface. Like, but I will say this: you left a lot already.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
So, when you think of someone who empowers and who inspires you, who comes first to mind?
Miles Monroe, the late Dr. Miles Monroe.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've read all his books, listening to all his messages. I never get tired because I read them again and again and again. I think the latest one I picked back up was The Spirit of Leadership recently. Yeah.
That's legacy.
Yeah. Oh, that's
he
that's
has left. Because I don't even know when it 2018. I don't even know when they.
When he died, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember. 2007. Yeah, it's wild.
And there's so many people to talk about how he's changed their lives, and he's not alive anymore.
And he's still changing people's lives.
Still changing the world. Yeah. Yeah. That's legacy. What is a daily activity that helps you with your thrive?
Oh, it's reading and listening to other people. Because I'm a speaker and my purpose is speaking about purpose and all of that. So I cannot go a day without listening to someone, you know, especially my mentors. There are people that I must listen to on a daily basis. So I line up. So when I go to the gym, I spend about an hour and a half in the gym. I listen to at least about three different sermons, podcasts, messages, and so on and so forth. Yeah.
We're
so
very aligned, you and I. I will say this. I am older than you. My legacy somehow has tinkled into your life somewhere.
Amen.
What is a book that has helped you with your thrive?
Oh, so many books. And number one of them is In Pursuit of Purpose by the late Dr. Miles Monroe. The other one is The Purpose and Power of Authority by the late Dr. Miles Monroe. The Spirit of Leadership by the late Dr.
Miles Monroe. Yes, that one I read. That one's good.
Yes. Developing the Leader in You by John Maxwell. Another favorite one by John Bevere. John Bevere, X, Multiply Your God-Given Potential is another one. X.
Yeah, there's another book I read by him, but I can't remember. I feel like it's called...
Yeah, The Bait of Satan, maybe.
Yes, that's The Bait of Satan. Book.
The Bait of Satan.
That was good. That's his most popular book.
Yeah, and life-changing books. Another one by the late Dr. Miles Monroe is called The Glory of Living. Oh, my God.
I'm going to give one to you if you have not read it.
Tell me. Give me.
A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson.
No, I've not read it. A Return to Love.
And it's funny because I think it is a important, I personally, I'm not the doctor, Sam, but I do believe why I say it, because I think it is really important in terms of lasting purpose, because A Return to Love is on the premise that babies are born into love and we learn hate. And I think to truly discover your purpose, you have to eradicate the lies, the all the things that were implanted in you that are contrary to love, right? So the pain, the shame, the frustration, the anger, the resentment, the jealousy, the unforgiveness, you need to like expose it to light. You talked about light, and you need to reframe it to a place to now learning it from a place of love, what happened to you, and reinsert it, because it's not about ejecting it and just letting it go. It's about reframing it and putting it back into you, because I think that is also a big part of your purpose, right?
I agree.
And then leading from a place of love. And so that, anyway, read that book. I'd love, and that,
I will.
And that quote, that quote.
Did you say Marianne Williamson?
Marianne Williamson. And Marianne. The quote, you probably heard the quote, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It comes from that book.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Wow, so it must be a classic then.
It's a classic. It's a classic.
Amazing. Yeah. Looking forward to reading.
What is an app that helps you with your thrive?
An app? I'm not very big on apps. In fact, I usually would just throw my phone away too.
Well, how do you listen to your podcast? Oh,
to podcast and all of that. YouTube. YouTube has been
my app. That's an app.
YouTube helps me with my thrive. Even when my phone is in focus mode, YouTube is always
YouTube helps me. YouTube is my app. It's probably the most used app on my phone.
Absolutely.
So what's as a final of the rapid thrivers, what's one misconception that people have of you when they see you in your thrive?
I think most people think I'm successful based on my career, and they don't realize I'm actually successful based on the purpose of God for my life. Oh. So many people think I'm successful because I'm a lecturer, because I already have a PhD, I'm a senior lecturer, one step more to becoming a professor. So most people think, oh yeah, that must be why he's successful. That must be why he's, you know, some people even think that's my purpose in life. No. It's really about helping people discover their purpose, you know, and that's what makes me thrive.
I love that. So where do we find more of you online?
SamuelAkundayo.com is my website. SamuelAkundayo.com. If you get on SamuelAkundayo.com,
you'll see all the context. Okay. And I'll definitely put all of that in the show notes.
However, if somebody is listening to this and you're going, how do I discover my purpose? You know, Dr. Sam, can you help me? We have a whole school, my wife and I. I've not mentioned my wife in this podcast at all. My wife, Dr. Blessing Akundayo, she's my number one cheerleader, my everything. I call her my love song. Anyway.
We're gonna have to bring you both on for a couples episode, but anyway, on a purpose-driven relationship.
Thank you. Together we run a school called the School of Purpose and Influence. We call it Spin University because God told us that it's going to be a university later on in the future. So we're naming it by faith, where we help people discover their purpose. We're on a 15-week flagship course where we immersively help you discover the purpose of God for your life. Interestingly, we're in session now, so you can apply now, but you can join the wait list. So if you go to spinuniversity.org, you can join the wait list.
I will definitely put that in the link as well. And you're going to have to please introduce me to your wife, because I'd love to interview her.
All right, I'll do that. I have your number. I love it.
Please do. I'd love it. I'm really serious. I'd love to talk to a purpose-driven couple. I think that would be a beautiful episode.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll make it happen. Okay. Another thing is my YouTube channel. So if you go to Samuel Akundayo, just go to Samuel Akundayo. Just type Samuel Akundayo on YouTube. You find my channel. There are over 700 videos.
I was about to say 1,000. There's a lot of stuff over there. Check it out. Do I even have the numbers? Do I have the stats here? No, we just have like 31,000 followers on Instagram, 11,000 on LinkedIn, 10,000 on Facebook, 5,000, almost 6,000 followers on YouTube. You're going to get more from this podcast. So check them out.
Thank you, Kitchy. Yeah, so that's in a nutshell.
And of course, if you want to see me in person,
come to Auckland, New Zealand.
I love it. And so as a final question, please finish this sentence. I'm most empowered in my skin when? I think you.
When I'm coaching people, when I'm speaking, when I'm writing about purpose.
Oh my God. I already love this guy. I met him. I thought it was a very blessed moment. It was one day. And you actually did alter my life that day. And I think I feel very blessed to have had this opportunity with you. I really do. Your excitement about who you are and your gift to this world and how you are just, you know, being free and surrendering to what God has sort of positioned you for you know, you're not disqualified. You're in your lane, and it's freak, man. It's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I was like, I have to give you a hell yes.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. And I can say the same about Lean Kitchen. The very first time I met you, I was like, who is this woman? So much energy, such a ball of fire, and it's a ball of positive fire.
Thank you.
You know, and literally, you lit up the whole room that day, and I'm sure you noticed. Like Thank everyone you. Just gravitated. You've like filled the room with your energy, and that speaks volume. It tells that you are a person that has worked on yourself enough to be able to spread your light, you know, to other people. So thank you.
Again. I appreciate you. And I'd really love you to read that book, because that was the start of my journey.
I will. Yeah. I will. Yeah. Definitely. So I've written it now.
Awesome. And so to everyone that's listening, this is, I know, just hit rewind and listen to it again and get yourself fired up all over again. But Sally, this is where I have to say, we're out. Bye-bye. There you have it. I trust that you are feeling more empowered in your skin. As the late Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you get, you give. When you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at Empowered in My Skin, Inc. if you share this episode and tag us or teach an insight that you took from today's episode on your social and tag us. Feel free to leave us a review over at iTunes and follow us on social media at Empowered in My Skin. Finally, remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode.